October 25th, 1984, Donnie Gaeter at her home. Donnie, you were just singing...
trying to sing Frankie and Johnny.
Frankie
went down to the hotel, and to her surprise, she saw Johnny with another making love to Nellie Bly. She shot her man, 'cause he was doing her wrong. That's all I remember, and I'm not sure that's exactly right. But I had another one I wanted to sing.
With Frankie and Johnny, do you remember how old you were when you first heard that one?
I was in my teens.
Uh-huh.
And this one's After the Ball.
I
didn't do that one, did I?
No.
A little maiden climbed an old man's knee, begged for a story. Do, Uncle, please. Why are you single? Why live alone? Have you no babies? Have you no home? Listen to the story, I'll tell it all. I broke her heart, pet, after the ball. Bright lights were flashing in the grand ballroom. Softly the music played a sweet tune. In came my sweetheart, my love, my own. I want some water, leave me alone. When I returned, pit, there stood a man, kissing my sweetheart as lovers can. Down fell the glass, pit, broken, that's all. Just as my heart was after the ball. One day a letter came from that man. He was her brother, as the letter read. And that is why I'm single, no home at all. I broke her heart, pit, after the ball. After the ball was over, after the break of morn, after the dancers leaving, after the stars had gone, many the hearts were aching, if you could read them or many their hopes that had vanished after the ball. My voice is about gone, Peggy. I can't sing much more.
Well, tell me about that. Where would you sing that?
Well, we had Sweetheart Song about this time.
Mm-hmm.
That was when you went a-courting. And then from the larger groups, we learned the love songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one.
When you did After the Ball, though, would you play... You said you played the organ. Would you play
I could also play that on the organ.
Oh, yeah.
I could just tear up Red Wing on that organ, too.
Oh, really?
And things like that, yeah. And I like the fast ones. And if I can hold out to sing this one. And... this is Down at the Old Garden Gate. My sweetheart's a sly little fairy, and her age is just 17. The old folks say she's quite airy, though a sweeter girl never was seen. Each night she steals out from the cottage, and her ma calls after her cake. She calls back, "Dear ma, I'm not going far. I'll just go as far as the gate, just down to the old garden gate, just down to the old garden gate. The moon shines so bright, and it's such a fine night, I'd like to stay here by the gate. Of course, at the gate we are waiting, and sweet are the words that we say. Inside, the old folks are debating on the price of the next load of hay. Just down to the old garden gate, just down to the old garden gate. The moon shines so bright, and it's such a fine night. I'd like to stay here by the gate. They say we're too young to get married, though with them I will not agree. Some night by and by to the parson we'll fly when Katie comes down to the gate. Just down to the old garden gate. Just down to the old garden gate. The moon shines so bright and it's such a fine night. I'd like to stay here by the gate.
What are you singing from? Are these songs that...
These are some of the real old songs.
Songs that you wrote down before you forgot them?
I don't know how I came to get these.
Uh-huh. Well,
they're in a collection. Uh-huh. I wrote this. I know I wrote that down as I'd think of a stanza.
Uh-huh.
I'd go and put it down, and they do come back to me sometimes.
This would be something while you were courting your first boyfriend or something you'd sing these
That's
songs?
Right. We sang some songs like that. And I was thinking about one a while ago. And then later on, as a young woman, we liked songs begin to come out on records. Then we had a Victrola, and the kind you wound up. And we had Carolina Moon, and when Jimmy Rogers came on, I could yodel then.
Oh, really?
And I could yodel every song he ever recorded. And In the Jailhouse Now.
Oh, yeah.
And something about his hoboing days, you know. And all those I could sing real well and yodel every one of them.
He
was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed those very much. And I wandered today to the hill, Maggie, to watch the scene below. The creek and the old rusty mill, Maggie, where we sat in long, long ago. The green grove is gone from the hill, Maggie, where once the daisies sprung. But the old rusty mill is still, Maggie, since you and I were young. And now we are aged and gray, Maggie, the trials of life nearly done. But let us sing of the days that are gone, Maggie, when you and I were young. And this is the one I used to hear the people sing in the cotton fields. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and far to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and far to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming far to carry me home. A band of angels are coming after me. Coming far to carry me home.
So you heard that in the cotton fields?
Yes.
Tell me what the scene was like.
People wanted to get in the cotton field just as early in the morning as they could. For more reasons than one, it was cooler in the morning, and all the dew that was clinging onto the cotton, it dampened the cotton and made it weigh more, and you got paid by the pound. And so as they would get their long sacks that they picked the cotton in, and everybody started out, there was not very much singing that early in the morning. But later on, it seemed the beat, and the faster the songs were, the faster they could pick. And I think the songs and their attitude helped them to pick more. And, of course, I couldn't pick cotton. I tried it. It was a hard job, and you had to stay there long hours to pick a sack full of cotton. But like I told you yesterday, I could gin the cotton. I helped my father to operate the mill, and I think we recorded all that.
It was mostly black folks who were picking the cotton?
No, in later years. Now, everybody didn't own slaves. This is an idea that was wrong, mm-hmm. because there was a lot of people that did not own slaves. Some did not want to own slaves. They thought it was wrong. And some people couldn't afford to own slaves. So there were different reasons, the reason they didn't. But we never felt that we had the need, and we thought it was wrong. And if my father heard of anyone being mistreated, he let people know how he stood on things like that. Because he, as far as I know, my family always did the best they could for everyone without mistreating anyone.
So in the fields, it'd be both blacks and whites.
Blacks and whites. They'd all be picking in the same field. Mm-hmm. Because back then, they were free. And each one got paid the same amount. But they were not fed at the same table. And then somebody from the family who hired the pickers would furnish water. And everybody drank from the same pail, but they had a different gourd. Can you imagine? Way back then, they used gourds for dippers, and they'd have separate gourds for the black people and dippers for the white people, but you drank out of the same pail anyway, so what was the difference?
Did they ever have any songs about picking cotton?
I think so. I know the boll weevil. The first time I saw the weevil, he was sitting on the square. The next time I saw the weevil, he had moved his family there. He's got a home. He's got a home. Well, the next time I saw the weevil, and I can't remember the rest of it. It's blank. But I will try to remember that.
To you some other time.
Yeah, okay.
That's a fine
one. When people were singing in the fields, did everyone sing together, or was there one?
They would sing together.
Yeah.
Some would start it off, and then others would catch up to where they were, you know. And it was a beautiful sound. And you could hear it for a long distance, especially early in the morning and late in the afternoon. And when they had their rest period at noon, everything was quiet then. But early morning, late afternoon, especially when they were tired in the afternoon, they wanted to pick a certain amount so that they'd make that much money that day, you know. And some would break out with a little peppy tune, you know, and try to pep everybody up. But it was a great time. This is what I wrote in the journal. This was more about my father. I had written more in here about when my mother and father were married and their descendants and experiences. And I can remember when my first incident as a child was when he was real sick in bed. And the planks, they didn't call it flooring or boards then. The floors were made out of wide planks. And they were scrubbed with scrub brooms. And the scrub brooms were made with about an 8x16 or thereabouts. And after you remove the dry shucks from the corn, you put it in water to soften it. And then you'd put the tips into the scrub broom and pull them until they were tight. And then they'd sprinkle washing powder or lye soap on the floors and scrub the floors until they were so nice and white and clean. And the earlier sounds coming from the kitchen in the early morning when I was a small child was the grinding of a coffee on a mill that was attached to the wall. It made quite a noise. Sometimes my father would pick me up from the bed and say, "Where'd you stay last night? Your hair's all tousled. And my mother was always busy cooking, cleaning, milking, and churning. She was sure her milking utensils were never used for anything except milk. And I heard so many people say that she made the best milk and butter in the country. My older sister Eva was 6 years older than me and looked after me on the way back and forth to school. I usually took my shoes and stockings off on the way home to wade the clear water in the pebble-lined ditches in southern Alabama near Floralla. When we arrived home from school, we always found food in a cabinet called a safe. Baked sweet potatoes, fried ham, sausage, or bacon, either cornbread or biscuits, everything homemade. After a snack, we changed our clothes and helped with the chores. I think we enjoyed the evenings more than any other time. When the work was finished, we enjoyed relating what happened during the day. And as time passed, we moved to Zorm's Mill, where my father operated a cotton gin, a grist mill for grinding corn, a sawmill, a shingle mill, and a small country store, all located on a beautiful creek called Natural Bridge Creek. As there were natural bridges northwest of us and caused by lime sinks, my days there were very happy ones. I loved school and the great outdoors. My mother boarded school teachers, and when school was in session, she never knew who or how many people she was cooking for. Whoever was around at mealtime was invited to come and dine, and a lot of people enjoyed our home with us. I did a lot of sweeping in those days. A large porch swept every day, and yards, which we call lawns today, had to be swept once a week with brush brooms made by cutting gallberry bushes and strip the leaves from the small branches to make a yard broom. No grass was allowed to grow inside the yard fence. The house brooms were made from broom sage, which grew in fence rows and abandoned fields. We gathered the sage in the fall and made brooms by removing the heavy husk and with heavy string wrapped the sage together to fit the hand. One of the teachers was an artist. Her name was Alta Copeland, and she would ask me to row her in the rowboat up the creek so she could paint. This helped me to ease out of chores in the late afternoon. In those days, we had plays during the holidays, especially during Thanksgiving. We had such a large audience once that it was held in the church, and so many people came it caused the sills of the church to give way. Such a commotion and excitement, but we went on with the show. You want me to continue, or you've got something else now you want to ask me?
Well, before I forget it, what some things came up as you were reading about what your mother and father would do, the division of labor in the home. Your father worked in the grist mill and the sawmill, and your mom did all the cooking and cleaning.
The outside was his, the inside was hers.
Uh-huh. And do you remember her singing as she worked?
She's hummed a little. She would hum a little, and then if and when she had time to rock me, she'd sing, "Go to sleep a little baby, for the boogerman catch you. When you wake, you can have some cake, and that'll be a pretty little baby." That was about the extent of her lullabies.
What about your dad? Did he?
My father was a singer, played the violin, and he'd break out with Love Lifted Me, or Rock of Ages, and...
What's Love Lifted Me?
I was sinking deep in sin, afar from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And another one would, let the lower lights be burning, brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Can't go no further with that one. It's too high. Can't reach it. And then, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to share. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And near the cross, and how firm a foundation.
You say mostly the gospel and hymns?
Gospel and hymns was his favorite. And he liked, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with my spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in thee. And
Church in the Wildwood. Oh, how's that go, Church in the Wildwood?
There's a church in the valley by the Wildwood. No lovelier place in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Then bass would come in and sing, oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. I've always been a toe tapper, and if I had rhythm and something to go with it, I could do a lot better. But I needed that rhythm and the time to keep time. As I was.
Where does that song come from, Church in the Wildwood?
It was in our hymnals, and I don't remember who wrote it.
Did your hymnals have music, or just
like yes, the shape notes.
Shape notes.
And then we did. We attended one church in our community. We attended all churches. That shows you we weren't biased toward anyone. We had what we call the Free Will Baptist, and they were very devoted people, and they washed feet. And it was a very serious ceremony. And they sang by the, they called it the Sacred Harp Singing, and I understand there was only four notes that they sang by. This is to the best of my memory. But they always sang, I hope I can remember the name of that, Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer My God to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. I don't remember anymore, but I know that was one of the songs that they sang at this service. And today there's a big cemetery at that church called 8 Mile. It's 8 Mile Church and 8 Mile Creek. They still have a family reunion there, and a few of the old timers gather for the singing. And some of the places up the country there, they have all night sings. There anymore.
This is in Alabama.
In Alabama, and some's over the Florida line,
uh-huh.
Chipley, Florida, in which is just across the line, and at 8 Mile at Chapel Hill, and they used to gather at Natural Bridge for the things, but I don't know if they do there anymore or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the communities, I notice in the hometown paper that I get of all the communities, they still go back and have the old time things all over again.
On the fifth Sunday?
Well, now ours used to be at Hakoda, Alabama. Our little post office was named after three men who settled in the community, Hart, Coleman, and Davis. They took the two letters from each word and they named it Hakoda, Alabama. And that's the way they got a lot of the funny names up there.
Uh-huh.
But on fifth Sunday in May,
yeah,
we always had the sings there. And anyone could go in and just sing to your heart's content all you wanted to, and request. They'd have requests, you know. It was a great day, and they had what they called dinner on the ground. But the dinner was not on the ground. They had built huge long tables. And my mother used to pack the food in a big trunk so that it didn't get grit or grime, because we traveled dirt roads. And the dust from, and we had a Model T truck at that time. We'd graduated to a Model T. And but there was a lot of dust, so she packed that all that food into the trunk. and put, she used to take broom straws and put them between the pies. She'd make egg custard and sweet potato pies. That was some of her favorites, so that they wouldn't crush down into the next pie. And put layers and layers, and then she made cakes, several different kinds of cake, and she cooked chicken in different forms. This is one time I enjoyed her chicken pie. It had to be a round enamel pan, and it was lined with something like biscuit dough. And then that chicken was boiled until it was tender and cut into small cubes. And then she boiled eggs and put into that broth. And then she put the bits of chicken in, and she put a crust on top. And I couldn't wait to get to her chicken pie. It was the best ever. And I don't know what else she put into it, but it was real good. And things like that, she took to that a big dinner. A lady back then cooked the very best of her recipes to take to any gathering where you serve food. So you got top quality, home-baked, homemade at all these gatherings, and it was delicious. And I can remember when they used to clear land, they had the neighbors all came in and helped each other. They might call it a barn raising or a log rolling or whatever, but it was a good time was had by all. And the ladies started cooking early in the afternoon. You know, if they were going to cook on the ground, some did their cooking at home and brought it. But we kids had the biggest time of all. We roasted everything imaginable that could be roasted as the wood burned down into coal. We roasted pecans, roasted peanuts, sweet potatoes, hickory nuts, anything we could snatch. We put it in the ashes to bake, and it tasted, because we'd been playing so hard and working too, until we were hungry. And my mother would save the ashes from these things and make hominy corn. And these ashes would be boiled until the water was real dark red. And then she'd boil that in the corn, and it would make this husk slip from the corn. And then she had to wash that many times through the water to take the lye away, because the oak ashes is a heavy percentage of lye in oak. And then after she had washed that, she knew it was safe. Of course, we were tasting all the time. And she would take an iron skillet and put bacon drippings in it, or maybe fry some country fried meat like we don't have today, and season that hominy and put it on that fire, and it was out of this world. And there was a lot of my aunts who were widowed, and they had large families, since there was only two of us, and we had everything that was raised on the farm. And we made cured meat. Hogs were butchered and slaughtered, enough meat to last us through the year. Also, the lard was saved in cans, and mostly crocks back then, and even smoked sausage, and chickens on the yard, so that we dressed chickens when my father hunted quail, and we had quail often when, at that time, back then, there was not even a hunting season. It was open anytime you wanted to go out and kill a mess of birds, you did. Or a wild turkey or whatever you could catch. The fish on the creek, you didn't always catch fish when you needed them, but usually if you watched the calendar and all the signs, you could get lucky and catch a good mess of fish. And I enjoyed that. I remember when my father got the first reel and rod, and he taught me how to throw the reel, you know, and a big trout caught it, and he was trying his very best to tell me how to bring him in. He said, "Don't hoss him, don't hoss him," and I didn't know what he was talking about, but he was telling me not to go too fast. Let him have a little line, let him have a little line. I was dragging that fish out because I was so afraid. I made it, I got him out, and I was so excited for days. I was just dancing a jig all over the place because I'd been used to catching a small perch or a small fish in a. And this one was a big one. He must have weighed 3 or 4 pounds.
Wow.
And I landed the big one. Ah, that's something else.
Tell them how to make crockhead cheese.
Well, we did. We made everything from the pigs that were butchered, or hogs. They were full-grown hogs.
Got our balloons from the hog.
And the bladders were used. You could take a reed and and poke it down in the bladder and blow it up and make balloons, and the kids played with these things. And then the chitterlings were scraped paper thin. We'd put a heavy board across the little stream. We didn't know we polluted the stream then. But that's what we did, put that heavy board across there, and you'd wash those chitlins till they were real clean, and then you'd take it to a wooden block. We had wooden blocks for chopping blocks, for battling blocks where we paddled the clothes. But the trees were large then, and a good block was a handy item to have around the home. And we'd scrape those chitlins until they were real thin, and then we'd stuff that sausage meat that had been ground and seasoned into those chitlins, or casings as we call them. Then they were hung over wooden poles and hung up at the smokehouse to smoke until they were as dry and as smoked as we wanted them to be. And the meat was cut into shoulders and hams and sides, which we called the middlings. And then we just cut the backbone out and used that fresh. That was our freshes. And we'd cook that with rice, and or you could cut it all the way across the backbone like butterflies.